Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, mahalo, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee with the Sport Karate Museum and the AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network, and my co-host, Mr. Dean Piles. Tonight, we have a very special show, but tonight, before we go further, let me introduce my producer, Hanti Jesse Bowen, with some upcoming things that are happening and what he's talking about in the book. Hanti Bowen?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you? Are you okay?
Oh, yes, sir. I am. I'm in a chill mode for, I'm giving myself another week here before I blast everything back up. But no, it's I'm doing good. The book was an amazing success. You know, Grandmaster Norris and Jaina, they liked the book and the Norris organization. And, you know, it was really outstanding to know one person that has impacted so many people, tens of millions of people, the ones that he knows.
Well,
yeah,
he had like 60 million followers, right? It was incredible, yeah.
Well, I mean, he's got, I think on his Facebook page, there's something like 6 million people that follow him on his Facebook page. And, you know, but that's just the impact. And I think that's a great message as a martial artist, and what we need to do is to be able to, people will follow us through our actions by what we do. And I think this is what Grandmaster Norris has done. But again, the weekend was fantastic. We're going to be doing the second edition of the book. We had to wrap the book up. There was a few people that we were trying to get in the book. We weren't able to because time ran out. So we're going to be doing the second edition of the book, and we've left space for about 25 to 30 new people to come into the book. If they'd like to come in and be a part of that, then they can still do that. You can go to our website, and you can nominate someone to be as a part of the book. We've really made a lot of headway this year with relationships in Brazil. So we're looking at doing a book with, it's going to be a North American, Latin American book. It's going to be in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. It's going to be a color book with a hard cover to it. So we're hoping to bring that out. We're hoping in November, but we're going to probably roll this over into 2021 doing that. So there's a lot of things. Thank you, sir, for your support, the Sport Karate Museum. Really do thank you guys, Dr. Lee and everyone for supporting the event. And again, we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to your event too, sir.
Well, thank you so much. And again, thank you to Mr. Norris and Benny for what the AMAA Foundation honored them. And we appreciate everything that you've done producing the radio show weekly. I just can't thank you enough. And, we got a big event coming up August the 8th where we're going to put together a History General gathering. We got four decades of people involved with American martial arts in America that'll be calling in. And you'll be one of the callers. We're talking about the book and everything. And Mr. Corley and Golly Bum, Rob Marcini and all kinds of cool people, Mr. Roy Kerbin, Mr. Merriman. I mean, there's going to be a lot of interesting people from all those years who will be calling in. So I'll be looking forward to hearing you more and more and more as we get more involved with the book and the interesting adventure that we're doing called the Sport Karate Museum. So thank you again, Mr. Bowen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Well, is Dr. Lee? Can we get Dr. Lee online?
Yes, I'm online, sir. How are you today? Hello?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Are you there, Dr.
Yeah,
Lee?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, sir. How are you?
Okay, I can barely hear you. Lance?
Well, let me.
Andy,
hold on,
guys.
Hold on a sec. Say again. Can you hear me?
How about, is that better? Is that better?
Yes, is that better?
That's the power of live radio, Dr. Lee. I apologize.
I apologize.
Well, everybody, this is Dr. Reginald Lee. He has created what we call the hologram adventure, and he'll explain it to you, then we'll go more in depth. Dr. Reginald Lee, thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you, sir. We are excited moving forward with SetVR, which is self-enhancement training and virtual reality, as a platform where one can practice their skills in self-defense whenever, anywhere, at any time. You'll be in control to schedule your own workouts. We have updated SetVR with metrics whereby you can see your progress as you practice to improve speed, accuracy, timing, and endurance, as well as to develop muscle memory and a reflex response to a stimulus. With the use of a headset, an Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest, you'll be transported into a virtual reality world whereby you'll be confronted with a hologram that will attack you when you least expect it, with random attacks. Bring with you your A game when you're in SetVR. If not, you'll be able to see your deficiencies as you engage the hologram. Continue to visit our website at setvr.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum, and to be able to be a future platform for the History Portal, whereby we can preserve the memory and history of martial artists that have meant so much to us. With that introduction, Professor Gary Lee, if you would talk to us about the History Portal. But before you do so, I would like to put out a big shout-out for the GoFundMe page to please help support the Sports Karate Museum. Professor Gary Lee.
Well, thank you so much for that. Okay, guys, I want to take you into the mindset. I'm taking that word from Auntie Jesse Bowen. He uses that word a lot. But the mindset of what I'm going to take you into. Imagine a village, like from old Okinawa or in Japan, where there's a storefront, and you can actually go into the stores and you can purchase swords or whatever we're going to do there and there. But it's a storefront made in old Okinawa, and you're building up educational tools. You're learning about sport karate as you go into each store. You're learning about American martial arts, how it was developed, who was responsible, who invented judo, who brought taekwondo to America. All this education that's in these stores you'll be picking up. Eventually, you'll go out into the woods and you'll face the first hologram. Now, I remind you, the hologram can be a taekwondo fighter, a karate fighter, it can be a judo player. Heck, it might be a Wing Chun dummy. And it'll attack you. You'll have to defend yourself. You'll have to also get clues as you get more involved. And then, once you get past the hologram, you'll face Mako. Well, he's my old sword instructor, but a wisdom warrior. And he'll say, okay, Dr. Reginald Lee, are you educated enough? And Dr. Lee will go, of course, I'm educated. And Mako will look at him and he'll say, I'm sorry, Dr. Lee, you have to go back. And so, Dr. Lee, I have to go back and get more educated about sport karate and American martial arts and, you know, in general, martial arts. And then he'll have to face a hologram again. This time the hologram is a samurai. It's got a katana, a wakizashi, maybe even a tanto. And you'll have to defend it with a kabuto weapon from Okinawa. Sai, kamkat, tafa, something from Okinawa, and then once you do that and get more educated, you'll face Mako again. Mako will say, okay, Dr. Lee, are you educated enough? This time you are. And he leads you to a gate. He'll open up this gate, and there'll be portals. Now, these are things that you can actually walk into, like they do in real estate when you see a house, the kitchen, the bathroom, the garage. But this time the portals will be named after the history generals of sport karate. For instance, the first six are going to be Alan Steen, Mike Stone, J. Pat Burleson, Rick Wiggin, rest in peace, and Professor Jerry Smith. And you'll be able to walk in that portal by earning the right by being educated and learning more about sport karate and American martial arts and defeating the hologram. And you'll learn about Alan Steen and Mike Stone and Rick Wigginton. And you'll be educated. It'll be fun because we'll do two things here. We'll educate the people that already know about the history, and we'll educate the people who want to learn about the history. And we'll eventually put all the history generals. We'll start with maybe 50 questions that you'll have to answer and work up to maybe 500. So everybody will be smarter and more aware of what, how sport karate came to America and how karate in general was brought to the mainland. Dr. Lee, is that pretty cool?
That's fantastic. That's a great program. I'm looking forward. I'm excited. It will be an amazing asset to Sports Karate Museum.
Well, every week we're going to get an update on the hologram and the process. And right now we're in what, phase two? We're doing the metrics. And what else? What phase are we in right now? Phase one or phase two?
Excuse me. We're going into the phase of the metrics whereby we're going to be including the knife attacks, with random knife attacks, and the kicking attacks, combination punching and kicking. So we're very excited about that coming out.
Cool. Well, I think we've explained it. And every week, please stay tuned as we do updates. And a big shout out to our friend Rick Shanahan, if he's listening, and his lovely wife. So a big shout out to Rick Shanahan from Dr. Lee and Gary Lee. So God bless you, Dr. Lee. I'll see you next week, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You bet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a very, very special double whammy tonight. I've got a guy from the old traditional, you know, draw of the sword, who came under a great, great karate martial art instructor, ex-ranger, Mr. Dale Kirby, Mr. Lance England, and also a Mr. Andy Watford, who is an incredible competitor from the NASCA divisions of competing in martial arts. And but before I introduce those guys officially, is my co-host still here? Co-host Dean Wolverine, are you there? I guess he's reading for the coward, but he'll be butting in periodically. So you guys have got me right now. So Andy and Lance, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, guys. Okay, thank you for being on the show tonight. And the first thing I want to say is a big shout out to Mr. Dale Kirby. I hope he's well and he's with his family. That's the reason why he's not on tonight, but he's here in spirit. And a big shout out to Mr. Michael DePasquale because he's recovering from an operation that he had. And another big shout out, okay, guys, my coach and someone that was part of my life for many years. His name is Pops. Bernie Krasnew, and he's in the hospital, or he's getting out of the hospital. He's dealing with some illness. So, guys, think about him as we continue on with the show, please. So,
hey, Professor, I'm here.
Oh, Wolverine, there you are. How you doing, man?
Doing good, sir. How you doing?
Good. I can hear you, but you're kind of like distant.
Yeah. Probably because I'm in the main room. We're doing some Valley Tudo stuff and working some stunts.
Okay.
I'm going to go in here.
Well, butt in as we continue on. I got Andy Watford, one of your old competitor buddies, and also Lance England. So butt in as you want to as we continue, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, buddy. First of all, let me ask you, Lance. Okay, Andy, hang on. I'll go ask Lance.
Okay.
First question. Now, you're a professor that teaches at a university or is it a school? Is it a university, correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct. University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
And you teach which is the art of the draw of the sword. Now, did you learn directly from Mr. Dale Kirby?
Yes, sir, I did.
Now, I want to ask you bluntly because we're called parts unknown. And people have known me for being a sword drawer for many years, but I want to ask you a direct question. Now, in competition today, in martial arts competition, you see a lot of things. You see people touching the sword, dropping the sword, not even using live blades anymore. And how do you feel about that when you see someone do that in competition?
Well, you've really touched on a lot of issues there. You see a lot of people that they disrespect the blade, and a lot of that comes from a lack of knowledge. So many people are not educated in the ways of the sword, and so they don't realize that things like, for example, touching the blade, that is something that you should not do. That's a very serious breach of etiquette. And that goes back to when you competed. You know, you and I have talked about the fact that you used a live blade. I used a live blade for years. And a lot of people don't understand that when you're talking about a live blade, that's, number one, it's edged. And number two, it is a traditional blade. It is hundreds of years old. It's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. It's a work of art. And practically speaking, for example, if you touch the blade, the oils from the fingerprints can permanently mar the finish on that blade and can ruin the price of the sword. And that's a very practical approach to it. And then you can get to the more spiritual connection that people have with their blade and training with their blade. And there, as you well know, there's just a tremendous difference between training with a live blade and training with an unedged reproduction blade. Now, in competition, currently, you know, we live in such a litigious society that it's safer liability-wise for all of us to use unedged blades, EITOs. And people just, there's a totally different feel when using an unedged blade.
Well, but, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, hey,
Professor. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to kick in right here and jump in for a second because as a you know, competitor, you know, I just want to say I've watched a lot of the people that are using the sword. I've watched them practice some of their routine, posting videos. I even saw a competition the last year that we competed, which was last year. You know, people would literally do sword rolls from handle to blade, and the judges would give them a perfect score with them grabbing the blade. Now, to me, that's disrespectful. It's a pet peeve, and it's the same as dropping your sword. If you can't handle your sword and maneuver it around with your techniques, if you want to get fancy, that's fine. And if you want to do tricks, that's fine. But at least keep your hands off of the blade because that is not something you can do in a combative situation. If you were using the blade, that's not a technique that you'd be doing. And to me, because my instructor is the American Samurai, Professor Gary Lee, I find it terribly disrespectful. And if I go back to the circuit, and I will make an appearance here and there, if I'm judging or competing, you can bet money that I'll be calling people out when they start grabbing the blade if they end the division competing against me.
Well,
that's a Wolverine plan. I'll get back to training.
Well, Wolverine, let me say, welcome back.
Professor Lee, if I could respond to that.
Yes, of course.
I think that Dean Piles really hit the nail on the head with that comment, and that is one of the biggest complaints that I've had from students that have competed, friends that have competed, and myself included, that what Dean Piles was referring to, I think, is just a lack of knowledge about swords and the sword arts in general. And so the complaint that I hear most often is that I go out to compete with a sword and I'm being judged by people who have no knowledge whatsoever about the sword.
Exactly.
And so how is that fair? So
right,
exactly.
Well,
I did a blood clean, and the judge said he gave me a lower score because he didn't see why I kept wiping the blade off in the bend of my elbow. He didn't know what that was about. So he gave me a lower
score because they have no knowledge. Like Professor England said, you know, they don't have the knowledge, and we have to help educate those people. So, first of all, Wolverine, if you're listening, listen to me. I'm proud. I'm so glad you're back, even though you're doing the movie The Coward and stuff. I miss the yin of the yang of the show, and I want to share that with you. So,
Thank you, sir.
I've got a special guest. Listen, guys, I've got another special guest I'm going to talk to. He's one of the top competitors in the NASCAR circuit. His name is Andy Watford. Andy, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Andy, I really love Dale Kirby, okay? And Dale couldn't be on tonight because he was with his family. So I had his number one UQ student, Professor Lance England, on. And I had to ask him a question, but I want you to know I'm very proud of you because you come from a good friend of mine, Mr. Virgil Kinney, and that's from Columbia, South Carolina. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it's North Augusta, South Carolina.
Right.
I live in
Aiken. You live in Aiken, South Carolina,
right.
Correct? Aiken?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, now, you've been teaching how many years, Andy?
Oh, God. I've been a black belt since 1976, and I started martial arts this September. I'll have 53 years in.
Now, have you met Professor England? Because I thought you guys knew each other, right?
Yep.
The gentleman on the line? Cool. Okay. Now, Andy, you do something that's totally different. You do creative kata, and you do the comma, and you do a routine that is not, well, it's not really traditional. It's creative.
Oh, no, not at all.
Sir?
No, it's not traditional, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure you can speak other traditional things, but what I've seen of you do a creative kamikata that you look like you're having a good time and you're doing your kata, but you're kind of like dancing too. Now, that's creative, and people understand what creative is. Creative is something that you make up from traditional kata. Now, you also do traditional kata and weapons.
I do.
What other weapons do you do besides the kama?
I do bow, of course. I do Chinese thunder whips, and I do tonfas. I don't mess with a sword a whole lot. That's not really my forte. I leave that to Mr. Kirby and his people.
Right. Funny. Now, Kabuto weaponry is, for people who are listening, that was from Okinawa. It was developed by farmers, and they did that to protect themselves against the samurai that invaded Okinawa, and they used farm tools like nunchucks that beat the rice, tompas that beat the rice and the grain, and then the scythes were held the oxen to the wagons, bow carried pails of water, or was a hoe. They use these as farm tools. And Iku, which is an oar, these various farm tools. Now, why'd you choose a kama for competition? Like I said, the battle a few years back, why'd you choose that weapon instead of the other weapons to do creative kata?
Well, one thing is easier to take on the airplane.
Okay.
Several years ago, you have to know my backstory to understand some of the things that I do. And
well, go ahead. This is part of the show, buddy. Go ahead.
And some of the backstory is basically, I was a fairly good competitor back in the 70s and 80s, and then I did everything. I did fighting, weapons, and forms and traditional forms, and then I had an arm injury, and then I more concentrated on building my school than that stuff. And then as time went on, my son was really getting good and wanting to compete. But I had a severe injury. I got hit by a car in 2007, and I broke both my legs and had a bad arm injury. And it really sidelined me. It just really took out of me. And 2013, my son did the most awesome thing for me. At the time, I went through a horrible divorce and financial ruins and everything else, and I bounced back from that now. But back then, it was pretty devastating. But my son gave me an opportunity to compete. And we went, and I had took several kids with me. You know, truth be known, I paid for their entry fees and hotel and everything. So I was going to compete, kind of have a comeback, but I just didn't really have enough money at the time. And so my son gave me his money back to go compete in Creative Weapons. And I said, well, son, I didn't bring any weapons with me. He said, here, Dad, use my commas. And the last time I used commas in competition was in 1981. And,
wow.
And so I went out there.
That background story is really cool. And that's how you came about. So here's the question that I have for you, sir. It's really important.
Yes, sir.
Because I got two. I got yin here and yang. I got a traditional swordman, Professor England, and I got a creative kata champion, Andy Watford. So I want to ask you a question, okay? Now, how do you handle the person or the old timer, we'll say, that comes up to you and say that's not kata you're doing? It's creative, but they go, that's not kata, you're dancing. How do you handle someone like
dancing. In my creative forms, I'm not dancing at all. I'm doing a creative form. Now, my musical weapons that I do, yes, I do throw in some head bobbing and some little things that I do in my creative weapons. And that's just because I can't jump and flip like these young guys. And,
Have you already heard? They call you the Santa Claus of karate. Have you heard about that?
No, they haven't said it to my face.
They haven't said it to your face?
That's
great. When I put out there that I was going to interview you tonight, I got all these couple emails that said, well, that's the Santa Claus of sport karate. I said, well, okay, I'll have to tell him. So I haven't said it to your face. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. I haven't said it to my face. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm 60 years old. I got a little weight on me. What do you expect? Okay, come on.
Yep. You're still winning, right? You're still earning, first, second, third places in competition. So God bless you. Okay. So that's how you answer them. So I got another question for a top competitor in the circuit. What's it like competing now in 2020? Compared to what it was like competing in 1980, back when I was competing in 1990,
it hasn't changed much for me. I still enjoy the camaraderie, and I root for everybody. We're a lot more patient. I'm a lot more patient with people and stuff. And I win, lose, or draw, I'm out there to have a good time and show sportsmanship and love the arts by being out there. I have to have something to look forward to get me out there. And that's one of the
things. Did you ever fight too, or you just did kata?
I used to do fight. I had bone cancer in my jaw a couple years ago. And so the doctor didn't recommend me fighting anymore. And I had surgery on my jaw, and I'm still in the process of working on that stuff too.
Right. Well, recently you became a history journal for the Sport Karate Museum. How do you feel about that?
That is awesome. Thank you. It's an awesome honor.
Thank the history journals that voted you in. But let me tell you.
Andy.
Thank you, sir. thank you, Dean.
is that the Wolverine? Is that the Wolverine? Hey, Professor England, are you still there, sir? Professor England. Lance. Did I lose Lance?
I don't know.
Hello?
There he is, Lance. I'm talking to you, buddy.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's the Wolverine. Have you ever met the Wolverine, Dean Piles?
Yes, sir, I have.
Oh, you have? He's a character, man, and he just chatted out. So I wanted to explain who he is. So he shouts out.
Oh, absolutely, and he's a fantastic competitor.
Yeah, he is, but he's working on a movie called The Coward, so he's in and out. But Andy, I want to ask you again, okay, since I got Lance and you both together, I want to ask, okay, let me ask you a question, Lance and Andy together. Should there be a separate division for swords, separated from Kabuto weapons and other weapons? I mean, are you happy with them put together?
It would be. It would be nice.
Are you like the idea, Andy? That's cool. How do you feel about it, Lance?
Well, my feelings are I would rather see a division between traditional and creative katas.
Well, that we have do that kata wars. But that's
we do that in the Grand Champion.
Yeah.
Well, and I wish that was done more widely than it is. I'm aware that some tournaments do that, some circuits do that, but I wish it was more widespread on that. And also, I'd like to jump in. I know the Wolverine is working on his movie, The Coward, and not only teaching at the university, but teaching middle school as well. Bullying is an issue that I deal with on a daily basis almost, and I just want to applaud his efforts in that regard in fighting that battle. So thank you, sir, on that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Right now we are really getting ready to kick off a nationwide blitz. We're going to be contacting a lot of other martial arts schools. We're doing a Stop the Bullying T-shirt drive, and we're going to dedicate everything straight to stopping the bullying and help get some free programs for kids and different things of that nature. So we're really going to push that. People don't really understand. People know about bullying, but they don't really understand the effect that bullying not only has on the child being bullied, but, you know, their family, friends, even the community around them. And that's what our movie is about. It shows the effect it has on all of that. Plus, we shed light in this movie on the actual bully and, you know, how bullying also affects them. And, we have got over the past few days some tremendous, tremendous surprises and things that have come up. And we are super stoked
Wolverine, waiting
to get back at it.
Wolverine, I'm going to bully you for a minute. You are just the UPS. UPS just dropped us off. Okay, guys, I'm going to bully everybody a minute. Listen to me. I just got an autographed picture from this. I don't know. I mean, this is from Michael McGann. Okay, I got autographed pictures of Ed Parker, Don Wilson, Joe Louis. Autographed picture of Joe Louis in the card. Pat Johnson, Mitchell Barbaro, Danny Heat, Gary Bum. Are you guys ready for this? I've got a picture of Chuck Norris and Debbie Reynolds from the Stardust Hotel, a card that's signed by Chuck. And this was given to me by Mr. Michael McGann from Florida, one of the New History Journals. I don't mean to bully you guys, but this is exciting. This is a...
Oh, no, that's great.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes, sir.
Guys, you know, one thing that we're going to do, like I said, August the 8th, you know, we're going to have a History General Zoom at 3 o'clock, and we're inviting the public, but also we've got some incredible people. You know, they'll be calling in and sharing 40 years of sport karate. And with that said, I'd like to say something before we go on with this interview, that, you know, Andy and Lance, you know, Lance experienced the Living Legends one year, and it was pretty incredible. But, you know, we're going to do one in South Carolina, November the 6th and 7th, where Andy's going to be there, and so is Dean, and Lance and Dale will be there. And then we got September the 25th and 26th that will be here in Houston, and it'll be Al Garza's Celebrity Roast. But the one in Greenville, I want to talk about in a minute. We're going to have a summit. And then we're going to have an autograph group right after the summit on Friday night. And Saturday, We've got a special show and the roasting of Sam Chapman, but here's a special gig. The Marines are turning, their birthday is November the 10th, and we're going to be celebrating some really cool people. Danny Lane,
awesome.
AJ Perry, I mean, Dolly Bum, Dean Piles, Colonel Slaughter, Colonel Phil Torres. These people are going to be coming in to share with us, and it's going to be pretty cool. So, Andy, you know, you're getting people to come to your table, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, also, you're going to perform also.
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes. Well, I've got people like Brian Pinna and yourself and Dean Piles, and, you know, we're promoting Karen Ena Herman to 7th degree black belt under Tang Sudo with AJ Perry, and Golly Boom, Arthur Heller and Joe Corey are going to be talking about how they helped invent SECA, you know, the Southeastern Karate Association, which, by the way, Virgil Kimmy, I got to plug Virgil. Virgil, you know, I went to a tournament long time ago, and I worked my butt off, I remember. But, you know, I was going through a picture of Sam Chapman, and I opened it up the back of the frame, and guess what fell out, Andy? A letter from Virgil Kimmy.
Oh, wow.
And
good.
Yeah, it was a letter stating that how he enjoyed the little he didn't call me Hawaiian. He said, little Japanese guy that Sam brought to the tournament. And, you know, because I was Hawaiian, you know, I'm Hawaiian, but
yeah.
I guess I was Japanese when I was real young. And he was real sweet. And who was the other guy that he mentioned that really liked what I did? Right, Ridger Abel. Remember Ridger Abel?
Yeah. He was from Columbia.
Yeah.
He's
passed away, but yeah, that's some pretty cool people back then. Do you remember a guy named, I got to hit you with something, Ronnie Barcoot?
Yeah, Ronnie. Yeah, Ronnie was in our association.
Oh, really?
Actually,
is he still alive?
Matter of fact, cool. I just found one of my cards from him. He used to give us these little cards. Mine was in 1972, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ronnie fought Joe Louis. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to call Ronnie Barcoot the Superman of the South.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wolverine, do you remember that fight when Joe fought Ronnie Barcoot?
It didn't last long.
Yeah, it didn't? You were there?
No, I wasn't there, but I do remember when that happened.
Oh, yeah? Well, back in the day, Joe didn't mess around. He would, back in the early days of full contact, especially after he won the championship on ABC, he knocked people out left and right. You know, even
sure
in seminars, he knocked people out. Well, mm-hmm. You know, Andy, let me ask you one more question while we got parts unknown here. Now, you're 50 years old or 60?
I'm 60.
Okay, how much farther? How much longer?
What's that?
How much longer are you going to compete?
As long as they let me.
As long as they let you? Well, you ever been boycotted before?
Yeah. As long as I enjoy it, and like I said, the camaraderie is what I like, and Dean knows this because we spent many a times together in competing and stuff, and then the last couple of years, our division, the senior division, has actually been some of the biggest divisions.
Really?
You know,
let me ask you a question. NASCA, they separate 40, 50, and 60-year-olds?
Yeah.
Do that? For my decade?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Dean, are you there yet? Dean? I wanted to ask you
a question. Yes, sir, I'm here. Sorry, I was on the
okay.
on the mat. Sorry.
I'm
yes, sir.
I want to ask you and Andy a question, and both of you guys answer it. And just both of you guys jab slap me when you see me next time, okay? Because I'm going to ask a parts unknown question. Okay. First of all, Andy. What's it like competing against an animal like Dean Piles? What's it like competing? Yeah, because he reminds me a lot of me back in the 80s and the 70s. He is a he's different. But you tell me, what's it like you competing against him? Now I'm gonna ask Dean the same question about you.
He makes me rise my game up.
Okay.
He makes me have to put it in overdrive. Because I'm 10 years older than him.
Right. So how do people feel when they see someone like Dean compete?
Well, see, you have to understand, we only competed against once or twice against each other. Because he was still in his 40s, and I'm coming out of the 50s. And so we only competed against once or twice against each other.
Yeah, okay. I stayed in the 40-plus for instead of going up to the 50-plus last year.
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a question together.
He was scared of me.
Listen to me. I'm going to ask you a hard question. You guys give me an answer. Now, okay, please don't be offended because I love you both, okay? I do. I love you both. But when they changed the weight, and they added the difference of years – in cops and fighting, where you a lightweight couldn't fight a heavyweight no more, or in kata, they just mix everybody together by age. Now they separate by 10 years apart or 5 years apart or whatever. Yeah. What's that like, knowing that you're not competing against the young whippersnappers anymore, or like we do in kata wars?
Actually, Professor Andy, I'll actually start with there is some division where we compete against the younger people, and you know what the difference is, the older guys actually do better. I mean, they have a lot of them have better technique, but you know it's just like the difference is in the skill sets and knowing different things. The younger guys will do flips and trick stuff and things of that nature in their katas. But, you know, doing it all together, that's good. But, you know, the thing of it is, it's different when facing someone in a combative situation because, you know, my world is all about the Valley Tudo, the last defense, military combatives. So it's different in a combative type world. Age doesn't make that big of a difference.
Dean, Wolverine, I didn't let you answer the first part of the question, like, what's it like competing against Andy Watford?
It's good times. That's what it is.
I keep you laughing, though, Dean.
Hey, yeah, I put you guys on the spot. I put you guys on the spot because that's my job.
But you know what,
no, that's fine. I mean, we have to compete against each other at the circuit. I can tell you this, you know, if people at the competitions, and you know I'm the Wolverine, so I just say what I mean what I say, and I say what needs to be said. If people at the competitions would stop their mamby-pamby friend voting and padding stuff like that, the competitions would be even better. But you know, this is the thing. A lot of times it doesn't even matter how good your technique is. It just matters who's setting up front, because you know it's a let me help you out kind of thing. And if any of them get pissed off, then, you know, the only way to really settle that is hand-to-hand combat. And then that way that settles that who actually has the better martial arts skill set.
But, you know,
that's just
say,
Wolverine ranting.
Well,
okay.
Listen, guys, hey, listen, I'm not biased or racial or anything like that. Listen, guys, I'm not biased or racial or anything, but back in the 70s, to put people in place, we just used to jab slap.
Can I say something?
Yes, it's your show. Go ahead.
I tell you what, you know, I have a lot of respect for everybody out there on the circuit because it takes guts to step out on the floor by yourself and to compete.
Amen.
When you walk out there, and I have a great team. I'm on the League of Angels out of Ron Purnell, and we're a Christian team. And so we get out there and do our best of our God-given abilities that God gives us. And, you know, and that's what it's about, camaraderie, good sportsmanship. But there are some times things should have went one way, but they went another for whatever reason. But I want to say one thing. Robert McGee has got my respect to no end. If y'all know Robert McGee, who he is.
Mr. McGee. Mr. McGee, I actually put Mr. McGee in the movie. He's actually coming down and going to do some stuff in the
awesome.
Movie.
Good, good. Anyway, this man is 72 years old, and he's out there performing. You know, I do six divisions, and he's done quite more, you know, doing what I do. And, you know, people like him, people like Dean, myself, Marty Knight, and these guys who get out there. Marty's a fighter, but he's retired now. But we get out there and do this stuff is because, you know, we love it. And, you know, and it gets us to the next level.
You're talking to the choir because I literally helped invent the senior divisions back when it was 32, 34.
Yeah, I remember that.
40 and 45. And then they created the 50-year-old divisions and the 60-year-old divisions. And I'll tell you something. I'll be honest with you. I'm so proud of both you guys because, you know, when I created – why I helped create the creative division, I'd walk into a gym with a jam box. I played Queen or Foghat or Steppenwolf and Born to be Wild, and people thought I was crazy. But
yeah,
look what it's come out to today. You have people also, like Michael Chattaretta and incredible people that are taking creative column to a different level.
And you know, the age brackets, you know, it is also a good thing because, you know, as you get older, the older guys, they've been out there doing a lot more, and a lot of them have a lot more injuries and different things like, you know, like Andy going through that stuff and me getting diabetes through the military. I mean, you know, you have
good
a lot
point.
More stuff
yes.
to contend with than the younger guys
right.
do that you have to work around. And the older guys most of the time have a lot more responsibilities, so they get a lot less training time in also because they have a lot more responsibilities that they're also doing, you know. So having the split divisions is a good thing so everyone can showcase their skills and
well,
get out there and have a good time, and that's what it's all about.
Dean, thank you for – Andy, thank you for answering that parts unknown – couple of questions that, you know, got out of the way, and I appreciate it so much because, you know, we got almost 10,000 listeners or more that, you know, they come from all around the world, and they ask questions, you know, and you guys, like I said, I want to emphasize the fact that...
Well, I want to do some more.
You're interrupting your elder. Listen to me, buddy. I'm 6 years older than you, so listen to me, okay? You guys are still doing it. You know, it's 2020, and you're still rocking and rolling, and that's what the history generals are proud of you. It's not just me. It's not just the museum, but the history generals that helped create sport karate in America. I want to say this to you. We're proud of Andy Wofford. We're proud of Dean Piles. And Lance, you're still there, buddy, right, Lance?
Yes, sir.
Even though people like me, you know, and I say me because I had to learn to go to the dark side, and the dark side is acting, Andy. Okay, I had to make people laugh for a living, and I really, it was tough because being a strict Kyokushin or, you know, strict eye guy, it was hard to cut cucumbers and bananas and break toilet paper and all that stuff, but I made people laugh because in my heart, I knew that the people that would be like you and Dean that would stay alive in sport competition. You know, I don't mean to be sentimental or corny, but, you know,
no.
Even though I don't do it anymore and step into the ring, when I watch you guys are doing it for me. So I appreciate it so much. And Lance,
yes,
I got to ask you a question. Did you ever compete yourself before you became a professor?
Yes, sir, I did. Of course, I never competed at the level these guys have compared with them. I'm not a competitor at all, but I competed in a few tournaments.
Well, you know what? When I came to Texas, when you do true eye, and I did more sorority eye, which is only five cuts, it was boring to the naked eye, okay? But you know what? You know what was my motivation? I told this to Dean the other day. There's always one person in the crowd, whether it be 10 people or 100 or 1,000, that know what they're doing. And I was told by Mako, that one person is watching you, so don't mess up, okay? So that motivated me to stay on my toes. Now, what kind of pressure, Andy, do you have when you compete besides your students or any type of personal pressure you have?
I'm just hoping my knees don't give out on me.
Cool. How about you, Dean? What kind of pressure you have?
Well, you know, with the diabetes, you know, and even coming down to your event, you know that, I mean, I've got Ostomani, my service dog, and literally I was watching a video today, one of the guys that pulled up, and
I watched a video today of you teach your dog to attack somebody, and he looked vicious. What's that about?
Yeah.
That's cool,
He is vicious. Well, you know, along with all my stuff, you know, we train the military, so I have him as my service dog, but he's also dual trained as a protection dog, and not that I need protection per se, but, you know, I want to be able to have that because in today's society, people are so, you know, unstable that, you know, in a group attack, I'm going to have backup, and we call him the Blue Missile. But if you've seen it today, if you've seen him, he does vehicle attacks. He'll come out of the vehicle on somebody. He'll go into the vehicle after somebody.
Wolverine, listen to me. Andy, Lance, listen to me. I'm going to talk real slow. This is a funny, funny story. Back in the 70s, I hung out with a guy that trained Doberman pincers. You know what Doberman pincers are?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We were in a Kmart, gutted out, and they were turning it into a bingo parlor, right? It was completely empty. And my friend had his Doberman pincher, and these guys are making fun of him. So my partner or my friend says, look, here's $100. My dog can bite you in the butt before you hit the front door, and we'll give you a 50-foot head start. And the construction guys looked at him and said, yeah, we'll do it. They put up $100. And I took the $200 and I had it in my hand. And my buddy said, I forgot the word he said, but that dog, you know, sat down. And the other guy walked up 50 feet. And the door was, you know, closed. And the guy started running. And my buddy, he says the word. I forgot the word he said, but that dog jumped. And that dog was going to bite that guy right in the butt right before he hit the door. And he hit the door so hard that he cut himself. But the dog was going to bite him. But as soon as he was going to bite him, my buddy goes, heel. I guess, yeah, that's the word. He said, heel. And that Doberman pincher just sat down like it didn't even happen. And that guy hit that door so hard at the front of Kmart. And my partner won $100 that day because of that dog. Now, that was the most amazing thing I ever saw because I'll tell you something. If he had said that word heel, that dog would have bit that guy in the butt and it would have been a lot worse. You guys ever seen something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Ostomani, Andy remembers Ostomani. He's only, you know, he was a little bitty at the circuit, but he was about halfway grown he's only halfway grown now, but at the awards banquet. But now he weighs like 100 pounds. He's about 36 inches tall. So yeah, he's a big boy now. So he packs a punch.
Well,
he's got 720 pounds of bite pressure.
He looked pretty vicious in that video. Well, listen, guys, we're running a little short. So I want to keep guys on and really emphasize the fact that August 8th we're going to have our first History General gathering on Zoom. Now, have you guys done Zoom before? Lance or Andy?
Yes,
I know Dean does. He does his reading, but have you guys done Zoom before?
I have.
Yes, I have.
Well, you know what's going to be really cool about this? 40 years, you know, from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, you know, people that competed in sport karate is going to be on the Zoom. Man, I've got people like Phil Savitz and Jordan Minshew and Pat Worley. Pat Worley sent me his uniform top today that he used to wear in competition. You guys remember Pat Worley and John Worley?
Yes, sir.
They run the Diamond Nationals. Those are tournaments that you guys compete in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, August 8th at 3:00, And if you want to see who all is going to be in the room, you can go to Facebook and just type in Gary Lee or Professor Gary Lee's Dojo, and you'll see some of the people. But, you know, one more question, Andy and Lance, before I get off the air. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, you guys from two different worlds. I mean, Lance, you're definitely a staunch professor, traditional karate guy that teaches, you know, professional and traditional eye. Andy, you're a traditional karate instructor that teaches traditional karate, but you do competition. Now, the question I have is that can both worlds really combine and be successful in business? Where you guys are, you know, are you guys happy with what's going on in America right now? Not the pandemic, but what martial arts in general as far as making a living? Andy,
well,
you go first.
I've been self-employed for over almost 40 years, and I do well. I kind of keep to myself, but what I do, it works for me. And,
well, I got a question to ask you, Andy. Where in the hell is Aiken, South Carolina?
I am 18 miles from Augusta, Georgia. Augusta Nationals golf course.
Okay.
I'm 18 miles from there.
A hop, skip, and a jump from Columbia, huh? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lance, you answer the question, buddy. Can the two worlds combine?
I think so. I think that, you know, there's a place for the traditional martial arts and a place for the competition as well. As a matter of fact, I think that competition can be, should be, a major part of the martial arts world. And I think that we all recognize the fact that if you take a young student who perhaps is plagued with a lack of self-confidence and you give them the
yep.
opportunity to go out and perform, then if they can step out into the ring in front of a crowd and perform kata or to kumite, then they can go into an academic testing situation, an academic presentation, a professional presentation, a job interview, and they can be successful because they'll have that self-confidence, which is built on that experience. So
yes,
I think
sir.
There's a lot of positive things to be said about the world of competition.
Well, Lance England, you sound like the professor that you are, and God bless you. Thank you so much, and please give Dale a hug. Let me tell one of my favorite Dale Kirby stories. We're at the Legend, and I'm having you guys perform, and you guys are amazing, but I go up to Mr. Kirby, and I say, sir, I want you to do exactly what you did in 1980 when you were the number one weapons competitor in the country. And he didn't expect that. And he went out there and he gave everybody goosebumps. So, you know, it's amazing. And I really miss him. So you tell him, you know, that we missed him and he's in here in spirit. Now, Andy, do you remember Mr. Kirby?
Oh, yes, sir. I competed against him before. Him,
really?
Kaufman,
wow.
Yeah.
He was called the Sleepy Samurai. Remember the Sleepy
yeah.
Samurai?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
With
Dick
Kaufman and Dewey Earwood. These are the guys who I was right behind.
Vernon Johnson. Oh, those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and,
I love
so,
Dewey
yeah.
Earwood. He's my other weapons teacher, and he taught me the bow kata from Mr. Kimmy Nissan. That I've later called
well,
it Kimmy Nissan.
Hey, Wolverine,
yeah.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I hate Dewey Earwood because he gave me more third places than any other competitor. Okay.
I know, with the same kata that he passed down to me. So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I love Dewey, but I like I said, like Eric makes fun of me. He says, Gary Lee has got more third places than anybody in the universe. And, you know,
well,
a way I guess I'm happy, but back in the time when you won a third place and someone else won a first or a second, it kind of pissed you off, you know. But
yeah.
I understand now.
I understand, yeah. I've always I've always been very impressed with. I competed with Michael Bernardo, Chris Casamassa, and these guys over the years, people like that, and it's always brought my game to a higher level. But
Let me plug both my buddies. Michael Bernardo invented a toothpick bow, and Chris was Scorpion in Mortal Kombat, who's also my co-host for a while in my show I did. But God bless both of those guys. And Michael Bernardo, even though, he invented a toothpick bow, he still was a great competitor, and God bless him. But, the toothpick bow changed everything. It really did. But that's another story. That's another show. But God bless you guys. I love you, Dean Pyle and Lance England. Give Dale a big old hug. Thanks for being on the show. Thank you.
Will do.
And Andy Wofford, thank you.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I had a beautiful lady. I'm sure she's beautiful. She called me, and she wanted the number. So she's listening right now. She said she's one of your students. So you do have at least one fan, Andy, okay?
Andy, I'm your fan too, man. You got at least two fans.
You got three fans. Oh, okay. You got Gary Lee, Dean Piles, and that woman that called in tonight, okay? Cool.
Well, I'll take it.
I'll see you guys in November, the 6th and 7th. And Andy, I'll tell you what, Dean told me to throw a banana peel when you perform Saturday night, okay? So you're going to have to, do it.
Hey, Andy, that's better than what I had to go after. He had broken glass on the floor when I was
I don't tell him that because that's true, but I'm telling that. So, guys.
Well, Dean, if you need an extra, let me know.
J. Pat Burleson. Listen, next week, Wolverine, I got J. Pat Burleson and his wife, Anna. And another surprise, but J. Pat Burleson was the first national karate champion in America, and he's an icon and someone that created him with all his fighters, and it's gonna be really cool. So next week, make sure you listen to Anna Burleson and J. Pat Burleson. And I don't know what happened to AJ tonight, but I guess he didn't get the call in fast enough, but we miss him, but everybody, God bless everybody. God bless you, Andy. God bless you, Lance. I love you, Dean Piles. God bless you.
Love you too, sir.
Everybody, what we say every week, we always say it, we mean it from the heart. Mahalo and aloha.
Hello. Tonight. Hello.
Thank you, guys.
God bless America. Aloha.
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 Take care. Good night.